This is the Rising Tide Startups Podcast, where we chat with startup founders from all over the globe to help you escape the cubicle and begin your own startup journey. Make sure you take notes. Every episode of Rising Tide Startups is sponsored by Podbrand Media. Let Podbrand create and host your company-branded podcast. Learn more at podbrandmedia.com. This is Kevin Pruitt with another episode of Rising Tide Startups, and this is a first. In over almost 6 years of podcasting, I've never had a three-time guest. The first three-time guest we've had on here, and I once described this guy as the nicest guy on the internet. And you know what? That was a few years ago, and it hasn't changed. I've met a lot of people on the internet, and it still hasn't changed. But, and we want to welcome Jamie J to the podcast again. Jamie, thanks again for joining us.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Kevin. This is so cool. Third time. Wow. What an honor and a privilege. You've really taken this thing to another level. It's fantastic. It's nice to see you stick with it. It's cool to see kind of the trajectory and everything and how much it's influenced your life.
Well, there is no doubt. And just the network that's been built over, you know, I mean, more than 300 podcasts, more than 300 guests and in 30 different countries, you know, 30 plus countries. So I was looking back at the dates and it's like February of 2019 was the first time you were on here. You were here August of 2022 and now March of 2024, but this is probably going to go live in April, but it's amazing. Like every couple of years, I got to have a Jamie J fix. So Jamie, just
so cool.
For those that are just listening for the first time, give them a little bit of bio, a little bit of background.
Well, like you, I'm very, very proud grandpa, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm a U.S. Army veteran, paratrooper, jumped out of perfectly good airplanes and spent my time in corporate America for about 12 years, took me 11 years to figure out that I didn't want to work in corporate America. And then kind of started, I've always kind of done my own thing. You know, my brother and I started selling lemonade when we were real young to the golfers, you know, yep. And then we dove in and got golf balls and we sold golf balls and it was the ones with little hacks on them. We'd sell for 25 and the, you know, ones that were really nice, we'd sell for like 50 or 75 cents. And, you know, we had an investor, my mom, who really believed in us and we thrived and we just always done stuff like that. And I was part of a mastermind group many, many years ago when we first met, I think I was in that mm-hmm. mastermind. And they said, well, how are you getting all this good, you know, support? And I said, oh, you know, I source from the Philippines or find them in the Philippines. They go, well, can I get one? I'm like, sure. And they said, you need to turn that into a business. And my friend said that he said that I was the bottleneck in my business. And I thought, what a great name. Let's call this Bottleneck Virtual Assistants. And then, yeah, so it's just kind of transitioned. We COVID hit and we really had to reimagine who we were and come up with some kind of a radically different point of view or mm-hmm. something that we had to do. And on the coattails of social distancing and through an incredible human being in Christopher Lockhead, he suggested distant assistance. And I thought, man, that's freaking perfect.
What a great name. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just kind of took it from there and we're proud to say we're the world's first dedicated distant assistant company.
I mean, it's interesting because I, you know, of course we're connected on LinkedIn and probably other socials, but I see from time to time, you know, you kind of double down on that particular, you know, name, that nomenclature. And it is so unique in the space. I mean, no one else is really using that. And so that's one way to kind of separate you from, you know, kind of the mass of, you know, noise out there. But go back to the very beginning. Go back to the very beginning of starting this agency. So, yeah, you'd hired a few VAs that were doing a good job. But I can't imagine that just automatically translated into a business. So what were some of the first steps you took to kind of get this rolling?
Yeah, it's hard to believe I've been doing this 18 years, though. It's crazy, but I actually had a business starting in 2018. So what actually happened? I was in a mastermind group and we had that conversation. They said, you should start a business. And I go, I don't want to build another website ever. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a good opportunity. And I started sourcing more DAs through my old organization, through my old company. Mm-hmm. And then it started growing and growing, and I started really enjoying the process because I'm a process freak. And oh my gosh, onboarding and offboarding, and it's steps. It's a bunch of steps. And it just kind of came natural to me to figure that kind of out. Of course, fell on my face quite a bit and all that kind of stuff, but it really, when you're passionate about something, you can see how you spend more time doing something. And I started really just almost despising the agency and really, really enjoying the assistance, because you actually saw somebody like go, oh my gosh, I don't have to work this Saturday because we've got everything, you know, like you're affecting people on that kind of level. And it's neat. It's really neat. And I just enjoyed the process, but it wasn't that big of a hurdle for me. But it, as long as it, I don't know, I can't explain it, Kevin, because it's like, I really enjoy process, and process is constantly evolving. So I'm just doing processes all the time.
And I think it did probably help that you had kind of that built in, you know, maybe client base through the mastermind that, you know, that may have
really
been kind of your first client you onboarded. But what are some lessons that you've learned about this space? I'll end at that question because I've got another one that would have probably taken you chasing in a different direction. So what are some lessons that you've learned along the way that kind of made Bottleneck, you know, stronger?
I've learned what not to do a lot.
That's sometimes more valuable than what to do.
Yeah. So we've fallen on our face pretty hard a couple of times. And what I first learned is, like, we built a whole course, we sold one. So what that tells me is two things: get the feedback first, right? Yeah. Get all that feedback, and then build it how your clients, whatever relieves their pain. And so what we would do a lot of times is we would just assume things. And I think probably one of the hardest parts about this is, generally speaking, is maybe really wanting to deliver, but not having the system in place to either scale and, you know, keep tripping, because you find out, oh, this is another thing. Oh, the client doesn't like that. Oh, we promised him we'd do this, but this happened.
Yep.
And so that kind of happened for a couple years. And a lot of people go, oh my gosh, a couple years, why didn't you fix it? Well, we continued to fix it, because as we grew, we learned new things and new experiences and dealing with, you know, one industry versus another industry. There's different things you have to go through, whether it's HIPAA compliancy or, you know, what it just depended.
Right.
And so we finally, after kind of bobbling around, landed on 6 roles that we really, really like. We're 100% just administrivia, anything administrative. So what we do not do is we do not do any copywriting. We don't do any sales, and we don't do any strategy. But we do supportive roles for all of those. And when we finally started being able to say, no, that's not us, please go see this person or whatever, it really helped. Like, it really helped us out. And we kind of had to slow down to speed up.
Yeah. Did that, I mean, you mentioned, you know, you need to go see that person. Did you kind of piggyback or compliment other agencies that maybe had other focus areas or other verticals they were, or other levels of support? Like, you said, okay, this is our niche, this is yours, you refer to us, we'll refer to you, kind of almost like a partnership, almost an agreement.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yes. So, and that's what we finally, I'll mention Christopher Lockhead again. I really enjoyed his book, Niche Down, right? Mm-hmm. So that book, and that's what we finally had to do. We had to niche down. And it's so awesome. Our service literally could work just for about any industry, right? But you can't do everything for everybody. You can't sell that. It's impossible. Right. So the best way that I found for us is to find really cool business owners. And I've met a million of them. They're freaking awesome in this industry. And the competitor, that word doesn't get really thrown around. You'll never hear us say, oh, we're better than them, or we're better than that. We'll say, we're extremely different.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But we are probably, go to Upwork if you're looking for a project, that you want to get done. They have got great platform, great resources. Heck, I talked to Tim Sanders before. Like, you know, I think he's a CMO or CFO or something. And he's just a nice fella. And I mean, they did what, $7 billion last year or something like crazy like that. And but I still said, you know, what can I do to support you? You know, what are you trying to do? And he did the same thing, you know, and it's pretty consistent. Now, there's a difference between what a traditional virtual assistant will do and a distant assistant. Mm-hmm. But if someone's looking for someone to come in at an executive level to support the executive level, they're looking for, in my opinion, a pretty long time engagement. They don't want to just hire somebody for 5 or 6 months. I mean, we have one person just celebrate almost 10 years with us.
That's amazing.
It is really cool. Now, if you're looking for that kind of person that really wants to get into that culture and study, we've had one person from South Africa, our client flew them to Florida for training for 2 weeks after he had been on board with them for a while, right? If you want that kind of thing, we're really good at sourcing and providing talent that understands workflow management and delegation management. And, you know, these are people with degrees and stuff like that. Now that's one route you can go, but you all may also need, I don't know, somebody from Fiverr or you need somebody speaking Spanish and English, you know, so it just depends on what you want to do and where you want to go. And I would say that's probably, it's kind of neat industry that way.
I one thing that has always struck me as interesting in this particular industry is, you know, how do you avoid just becoming Match.com? You know, how do you avoid the idea that okay, I'm gonna pair a really good VA or a really good distant assistant with a company that needs that service, and then they're going to get along so well that somehow I'm not needed in the equation anymore. So. Is that by contract? Is that, I mean, how do you safeguard against that, or do you?
So much in the same way that I don't want to trademark distant assistant. I want people to say, oh my gosh, have you heard what a distant assistant does? You know, I want other companies to say ABC distant assistant company, right? Like, I really want them to do that because it means something different and words matter.
Yeah.
Well, much in the same way, like I just had a conversation with a prospect today, and he mentioned, you know, I told him the rates, and, you know, we are one of the few, if the only, I don't know if anybody else really does full-blown 100% subscription-based service. Like, we have a full-blown service. We don't have any AR. It's prepaid for a month, and then it just automatically goes. We have a memorandum of understanding that people can go through to learn all the specifics. But there's nothing to sign. There's no contract. So if you work with us and you're there a month or a month and a half and you just paid your second month and say, I'm done, this isn't working out for me, usually find out within the first 2 weeks anyway. Yeah. But if it's not working out for you, we'll even refund the balance of that month back to you. And the last thing we want to do is hold anybody into a contract. Me personally, I don't believe contract. I'm a handshake type of dude. But at the same time, I understand the importance of understanding what is expected and all the rules and all that stuff. Yeah. That's why we have a memorandum of understanding. But at the same time, if somebody's never hired an assistant before or never worked with us before, and they get into this and they don't want to be here, I don't want to be responsible for having this person be unhappy for a year or six months with us and forcing them into, you know, this is such a litigious society. Right. I'd just rather say, you know what? I hear you.
I think that's wise. Just the whole idea that, you know, if you don't want to be here, then we're not going to get along anyway. So, I mean, it's just let's shake hands and part our ways and bless each other on the journey. But just the whole idea of I mean, I really like that idea, though, of, you know, kind of say, okay, here, it's like there's somewhat of a monthly deposit to kind of get the ball rolling, almost like a setup fee type thing. But and then just, you know, go on a rotating basis. But that, I think that would be good for the distant assistants as well, that, you know, says, hey, we've got a good track record. of, you know, clients staying with us because of the way we treat them and the way we train you and, you know, or bring in the best, you know, distant assistants you can find out there, you know, really vet them well. So I have a feeling that that's also a learning process that you went through was, you know, how to onboard and train well, you know.
Yeah, massive. And to answer the rest of your question, we're not afraid. We never had a buyout thing until a couple of years back and someone made an inquiry about wanting to do that. So we had to get on the fly. But you know what? If they're going to do that, they're going to do that, right? I just put it out there. So we come up with a rate now, you know, to buy out. This person wants to take this person. They can take this person. They can just be unethical and they can do it, right? And just go straight to them and, hey, and then, you know, that assistant would say, oh, I got to quit or, you know, my grandma got sick or whatever. And I'm sure that happens sometimes. But hopefully most of the people that we're dealing with, they're good people. And because we want to make sure, I tell you right now, if I find out someone's yelling or, you know, getting down on one of our assistants and, you know, they don't deserve that.
Yep.
Berating them or any of that, I will have no problem calling that client, sending them their money back and saying, you're no longer a client of ours. Yep. And that's hard to do because we work very hard for every single client here. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the same time, we've got to be respectful of that. And if they do, they do. So now we have a buyout program, right? Yeah. And some people, you know, they just love them so much, they want to make them part of the family. Where the agency part comes in, it's really big on the front end, right? Because we do all the research and, you know, vetting and all that kind of stuff. Because we get about 2,000 applications a month, but we only approve about 5% of them.
That's incredible. Yeah.
When you get those approvals, though, where we've really stepped up our game is an ongoing relationship. So we have a client side support, and then we have our DA side support in the HR, where we'll reach out to them once a month. We can do training. AIs come out, and everybody's freaked out about losing their jobs. And well, not us. We leverage the power of it. Now we know how to use AI and prompt and reprompt and, you know, all that stuff. And then what we found was a really cool thing too, is if somebody came in and they said, you know, I got a pet, we'd send them $25 pet stipend or a $50 pet stipend or, you know, something like that, or a grocery bill stipend, or, you know, we just had someone get married, you know, we sent them a little, you know, and they really like that. And and we do pay 39% above market price, but this is why the industry average is 38% turnover. We're 7.8.
That's insane. That's insanely low. I mean, compare that to even the U.S. market. That's insanely low. I mean, and what a testimonial to put on your website. You know, not only it's like both sides of the equation, not only for clients to look at, but also for DAs that want to be onboarded. They're thinking, man, I would give a kidney, you know, to be a part of, you know, bottleneck virtual assistants or distant assistants, you know. So, I mean, what a testimony. And I think that does. It starts at the top. It starts at the character of people that are leading the agency. You know, you mentioned it. You don't want to work with clients that, you know, have questionable character. You don't want to onboard DAs with questionable character. If they're trying to work around the system, you know, they're like, you know what? We're better off without you guys in our environment, you know, so to speak.
And it is challenging because we're in the people business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm making a promise on behalf of another human being that may not fulfill that promise.
Yep.
And that has happened on occasion, but it's all about setting expectations and letting people know, hey, you know, should something like this occur, gosh, we don't want this to happen. But if something like this were to occur, we plan for that. These are the steps that we will proceed with.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I think that gives them a little bit of like, oh, okay, they've kind of thought this thing through.
Mm-hmm. And I got a little secret for you. It's not just the VA business. It's any service business. You know, there as long as humans are involved, there's going to be, you know, some disappointment somewhere along that chain of delivery. There could be disappointment. So, what are some what are, like, other than, you know, kind of renaming and reshaping, you know, what the, you know, the supply side of your business to distant assistant, what are some other things that you're kind of just chewing on a little bit, thinking, you know, hey, maybe we ought to, we're going to try these maybe this year. What are some new initiatives that you're kind of mulling around?
Oh, yeah, we do our annual meeting in December for planning, and then every quarter. So April 2nd, we're getting ready for to release the strategies, I guess, coming up. But we have a lot of fun with a bunch of different stuff. So we're currently in the process of continuing our education for mm-hmm. what a distant assistant is, because if someone's just looking online and they search, I want to hire a virtual assistant without knowing what's going on, right. It'll be hard to maybe find us, because there's mm-hmm. so many agencies. We're getting better. I think we only have 25 first page listings for the keywords, but we'll continue to improve that. But I think probably that's going to be one of our objectives this year, is the continued education. What is a dedicated distant mm-hmm. assistant? How is it different with our backgrounds in workflows and processes? And all of our distant assistants are trained in workflow management. So after being on board for 60 days, they'll take every single task that's been delegated to them and break them down, write them down, and step by step down to the click of a mouse button, send that to our design team. Our design team leverages the brand guidelines of our clients to build out a workflow manual with mm-hmm. table of contents and every single task and every single step in those tasks down to the click of the mouse button.
Yep.
And this does wonders for the confidence in our clients, because they know that they're being taken care of with the way that they're supposed to be mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. And should they go on vacation, should they get promoted, whatever the case may be, somebody else can come in and they know exactly what to do. So it's little nuances like that that we continue to keep tweaking, and how we can build that through different strategies. And one of those strategies is the delegation roadmap. And the delegation roadmap that we've done,
which is awesome, actually, by the way. I've actually gone through that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It's a Google sheet, mm-hmm. right? Not too fancy. It's very straightforward. And I'm going to share a stat with you that's going to blow your mind. 100% of our candidates that completed the delegation roadmap are still our customers today, clients today.
That's amazing.
23% of our clients who did not complete the delegation roadmap are still our clients today.
Mm-hmm.
That means 70% of the people that did not complete, or 77% that did not complete the delegation roadmap, are no longer our clients. So that speaks volumes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do is we want to get more of that 78% of the people to complete that delegation roadmap. So we're creating an app. And in this app, we're going to kind of gamify it. And instead of you having to go in there and write down every single skill or task that you're doing that you don't have to do and doesn't bring you energy, we're going to proactively suggest different ideas and concepts, leveraging the power of AI. And the goal is, once they answer these questions and they say, yes, I'm done, it's going to output to them a job role with responsibilities in that job role. And of course, the documented, the jobs and the roles and the responsibilities. They'll be able to see all of that in a dashboard. But here's the cool part. So we took about 6 months, four months switching over from Basecamp to ClickUp, mm-hmm. right? A task management system.
Yep.
And I was like, man, that was a long time. We're still tweaking things a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, God bless.
You may be for the next couple of years.
Yeah. And I thought, what if this was possible? Oh my gosh, this is going to go out to so many people. They're going to steal this idea. Please don't steal this idea yet. It's a good one. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the data from that job role and responsibilities. And if they want to, right, subscription, purchase this task management software, they'll say yes. It'll ask a question, have you done this and this? And what it'll do is it extract all of that data. And it took us 4 months to switch everything over mm-hmm. and all the tasks and who's or say, no, all that stuff, users, new workflows, right? Everything.
Yep.
It will set up every single task, all the subtasks for each of the responsibilities, including a 60-day to workflow manual training and documentation process in less than 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts. That is nuts. But there's a lot of work on the front end, you know, to get it ready. It's not just, it just didn't happen overnight.
It really did. But, you know, if you could, but that's one of the things we want to work on this year. Mm-hmm. But if you, could you imagine, you're just, instead of thinking, oh, what do I do? What do I do? It's going to suggest, you know, are you overwhelmed? What kind of things are you overwhelmed about? You know, and it'll be very conversational. And it just, and we have little bottleneck Bob who's going to be talking along. And, we're just so excited.
Bob. I love it. Did he look like a hockey player? And there's got to be some hockey motif somewhere in this app, or it's not, or you didn't design it. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, somewhere along the lines, there's got to be a hockey player in there. Yeah. But he hit, knocks a little puck in the net every time that you hit on the right one. So. Oh, man. Well, Jamie, we're going to take just a moment, just hear from our sponsor. But when we come back, we're going to tie a bow in this and just really drill down on the final stages of the chat.
And now here's a quick word from one of our new sponsors on Rising Tide Startups.
At Navicus, we know you spend far too much time on administrative tasks. Let us take those off your plate so you can focus on the highest value activities in your business. We have highly trained, highly vetted specialists ready to take on those administrative responsibilities at an affordable and effective rate. Check us out at navicus.com, proud sponsor of Rising Tide Startups podcast.
We are back once again, Jamie J, our first three-time guest on Rising Tide Startups. Man, it is, and I could not pick a nicer guy. I couldn't pick a better guest to come on for the third time. But Jamie, we've talked about so many things. Let's just wrap up. Really, like, speak to a small business owner that, you know, that might be listening, that might be a little bit on the fence, or maybe just thinking, what exactly is a virtual assistant and why do I need one? You know, give them the elevator pitch for the industry.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to share this, because I think it's really important. It's almost before, some people are ready. They're ready to hire somebody and they've done their research. Some people think they're ready, mm-hmm. but haven't necessarily done the research. And so one of the things that I would encourage anybody is, and you probably know the answer to this, when is the best time to plant a tree?
Well, the Chinese proverb says yesterday, right?
Yeah, 20 years 20 ago years yesterday. Ago, yeah.
20 years
when's
ago.
When's the second best time?
Today.
Today. So what I would highly encourage anybody to do, whether or not they even have this on the horizon, but if you start a business, if you like your business, if you do well in your business, the likelihood of you growing is there, right? Like, there's a good chance your business is going to be growing. Like, you may start off with just one client, but at some point you'll have two, maybe three, maybe four, maybe five. Maybe that's all you want, but at five, but now you're starting to hit walls. So what I would encourage everybody to do is start early. Scott Beebe said, do something as if it's the last time you're ever going to do it. And I love that saying. Mm-hmm. And what that means is document, 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 so that you can delegate, delegate, delegate. Mm-hmm. Start day one. You don't have to hire anybody. Of course, you have to be able to afford to hire somebody.
Yep.
But day one, start doing all the things that if you repeat this thing ever, if it's once a year, twice a day, five times a day, it doesn't matter. Document it and start building a video library, either Zoom or Loom or something like that. Put it in your Google Docs. It's free. Just start recording the screen while you're, okay, this is how I do an invoice to this person and da, 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 da. Because what will ultimately happen is you'll find out you need to hire somebody when things are going nuts. And you're going to have a mentality saying, I don't have time to hire. Just find me somebody that knows how to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the worst mindset to have in this particular situation.
And you're too late, actually. Well, it's far too late, yeah.
You're far too late. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen, and here's the thing. You're up here, you're running the business, but you're dropping the balls and clients mm-hmm. are starting to call, hey, where's this? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I forgot that. Okay, let me get in, you know, and yep. you've got octopus hands mm-hmm. going around.
Exactly.
Well, the thing that happens is at that point, you're like, oh my gosh, I need to hire somebody to answer the phones. So you hire somebody. This is this person who has an unbelievable skill set, by the way, but they don't know how you work. So there's time that needs to happen. And we've lowered this time to about 60 days. We even think we can get a little bit less if we want to. It's a get to know you period. And hey, these are my expectations and all of this kind of stuff so that you can see your assistant is slowly growing to where you are. No matter what this person is, and no matter what this person is, personality-wise, could be the nicest person in the world, sweetheart, could be all that stuff. There's going to come a point in time where they'll do something that frustrates one another or one person or potentially butting heads. When I say butting heads, it's not fighting, but they're like, how do you not know that? Yeah. You know, and they may not say anything to them, but they may call me and say, okay, so here's the situation, you know? And I said, okay, thank you for letting me know. And that, you know, then we send in the support, right? Mm. But I'd let everybody know this. I don't care who you are. When you hire somebody for the foreseeable future, 30, 60 days, you're already overwhelmed. Guess what? It's going to be a little more overwhelming, a little more frustrating, because now you're bringing somebody else into your baby, something you're so passionate about, but you need support. You need help.
Yeah.
And that's why you do that. So I always try and lay that out there because people really have to understand that you got to build this library. If you don't build this library of tutorials, it's going to take even longer to get them ramped up to speed. We break every single task down into four steps. Number one, name it. Number two, confirm it. So if you were to give me instructions, Kevin, you said, okay, Jamie, I want you to do this. I'd say, okay, Kevin, I heard you say you want me to do this, this, and this. And you say, oh, but don't forget that. I'm like, oof, that's so small. But if you do experience that 3, 6, 9 months down the road, that little leak is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's a confirm it. The third step is review and approve. So you're going to review and approve it, right? Because now you know that we're on the same wavelength and we're talking the same language. And the fourth thing, this is what most people that I see with have a lack of communications or a communications breakdown in their organizations, because step number four did not take place. Step number four is to create a signal. What does that mean? When you create a signal, you need to find out and identify what action needs to occur when Kevin, not me, when Kevin says, this is completed when. I will never be able to not live up to your expectations if I follow four steps when I'm performing a task ever, because I'm doing exactly what it is that you want me to do. So having those video libraries so that you can train somebody and build them up to speed, and then they slap on the confirmation of the workflow manual for you, you're going to be sitting pretty. Rest assured, getting from zero to 60 is going to, you're going to have some hurdles to go. Yeah. And I just want people to understand that, because it's something that people don't really think of. There's
right.
Oh gosh, we're finally going to be taken care of. Oh my God, I can kick my feet up. No, not yet.
not yet. It's coming. Not yet. That's, man, what a way to wrap us up today. Just you know, kind of walking us through your process and of, you know, how to ensure quality delivery, you know, of the promise, and you know, and also to put your VA, your DA in the best possible position to succeed. You know, so it is a two-sided marketplace that you're working with. So, Jamie, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, brother. Thank you for just taking time today. Man, I could just sit there. I forget we're recording when we're talking, so it's just like like two dudes chatting on over a cup of coffee here. But man, it is always a pleasure. And I, well, you
what
are
can
so
I do
generous.
For you?
You can just speak to our audience to close us out today.
Oh, well, I whatever I can do for you, it's amazing. You know, one thing I will say is you're like a full-blown professional now. Like, everything's put together. Like, it's not that it wasn't before, but yeah. It just seems like,
oh, there's a difference.
It's,
yeah.
It's not an effort for you. Like, you kind of got it.
There is. And I think that, you know, maybe went through the four steps that you mentioned of getting to this point, but man, you always deliver when we have a chat. So thank you again, just for time you share today. And just once again, for playing your part in helping all boats rise in a rising tide. Jamie, have a great weekend, brother.
You too. Thank you.
I hope you heard some great takeaways from our guests today. Make sure you reach out to them and thank you again for playing your part in helping all boats rise in a rising tide.